All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. Today we speak about channeling, how to channel. So many people have asked the one who channels us, how do you do that? What is channeling? And of course she attempted to write a bit about it on the website, the galexisspirit.com website, where she puts out that type of information. So if you want to know some about channeling, a little bit about the this and that about it, you may want to go there and read up what she has to say. But today we're going to be speaking about channeling and you. Now, you've undoubtedly either seen other channels bring forth various entities. You've seen perhaps videos, heard audios, right? So there are so many people channeling. Now, we want to first of all make a distinction between the term channeling and the term mediumship, right? In the old days, they were mediums or trance mediums, right? Now, mediums were very, very much the avant-garde in the early part of the 20th century, late part of the 19th, and it was part of the spiritualist movement. It started with table rapping in 1844. Where spirit began to speak through. People know about spirits from all sorts of Hollywood experience, where you see movies on and hear information about poltergeists, noisy ghosts. And you've probably got a chance to see the TV show Ghostbusters or watch the movie. So you have a lot of ideas about mediumship, channeling, ghosts, spirits, entities. You may have even heard about, you know, shamanic entity release, where they remove negative entities out of you. You've undoubtedly heard about how Catholic priests can shoo a bad spirit out of somebody. So there's a lot of information going around that would be useful for it to be clarified. So we're going to say just this because it's a book. We're not going to talk a book today. A medium is someone who relinquishes their body, their mind, their energy field to the use of an entity or group of entities who wish to come through and speak. Mediumship initially was focused on bringing a connection from those who are deceased to surviving family members as a way of comforting them and as a way of also demonstrating that there is indeed life after death. The eternal soul does not experience death. But when you get into physical body, yes, you experience birth and death, birth and death. And in your Western culture, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, this whole concept of reincarnation is not acceptable. It is not part of a belief. So spiritualism and the mediumship was originally intended to show that death was not the end and that it was not necessarily an impenetrable barrier, that one could get solace, information, and help from the other side. It also was able to establish a lot of awareness and understanding of the different dimensions and realms and the cycle of birth and death that people went through from the information that came through. So it was a major teaching channel. But a medium, is one who relinquishes. A medium is one who surrenders. Now, it is consistent with the day and age, because in that day and age, the conscious mind was not the point of power. The point of power right now, and has been such for about 50 years or so, that this is a time where you must be conscious, where consciousness is emerging on the planet, and that people are no longer at the mercy of their subconscious minds. They can take charge of and do healing work with their subconscious minds, and their subconscious minds then serve much more as the reservoir of useful daily mundane patterns and of actions and information. But the conscious mind is what's so exciting. Back in those days, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, when spiritualism had a huge rise, that was not the case. In fact, for much of that time, even the subconscious was not the point of power, but the unconscious. The unconscious is the place where, quote-unquote, demons show up from. That's a connection to the astral plane, to things that manifest that are unexplainable. And generally, people fear the unconscious mind. So a medium was one who was able to totally relinquish conscious mind, to allow subconscious and unconscious to speak through, to move through. A good example of that was Edgar Cayce. Basically, he let go of his conscious mind completely, and the subconscious answered all these questions and gave the reading. At that time, the subconscious mind was not something that people were aware of. In other words, in order to access your subconscious mind, you had to go completely unconscious. You had to go completely out. So it was a complete surrender that was required. Channeling, as the term has arisen in the past 30 years or so, 40 years, it refers to someone who brings forth the messages of spirit. But it is not a complete and total surrender of consciousness. It is a mutual partnership between an individual on this side in physical body, i.e. yourselves, and someone or someones on the other side who are not in physical body, who can speak through and communicate through and express through you. It is a partnership. Now, the partnership works much better than the mediumship approach, because the mediums, they gave up everything. And if the spirit who came through did not know how to manage the energies and didn't have any feedback from the medium on how to manage energies, very often these mediums' energy fields were blown. Many of them became obese and ill, tired and incapable of functioning very well. The spirits didn't have that feedback that in a partnership you can give. If you're in a partnership with whoever you choose or whoever is willing, and you are willing to work through you, then you have an arrangement that is very protective of you. This arrangement generally comes through a spirit, an entity, that is known as the gatekeeper. Now, trance mediums had gatekeepers. But as we said, they didn't get the feedback. But every one of you, should you desire to channel, if you desire to express something from the other side into this side in a very direct way, to tap resources, knowledge, and wisdom beyond your own levels of access, to tap your own subconscious, to tap your own higher mind, to tap ascended masters, teachers, and mentors, it is useful for you to form a relationship with one, at least one entity. If you only have one entity that you want to work with and that will you will channel, then that entity will be your gatekeeper. Otherwise, if you have multiples, you have a gatekeeper. This is a function that is held by a particular entity of choice. The arrangement is that the gatekeeper is going to make sure, see who needs to come through at what time. It's the one who determines that you don't get really destructive, negative entities coming into you, that you do not become vulnerable to a negative entity attachment. Your relationship with your gatekeeper is pivotal for channeling. All right, now there's different levels of channeling. First of all, channeling, if you use it in the most broadest of terms, would refer to anything from having an intuitional aha or insight or hunch all the way to complete total unconsciousness, totally out, and allowing some entity to fully and completely talk through you. That range is huge. And everyone has a range that is acceptable for themselves if they decide they want to channel. And everyone can learn how to channel. Everyone can do it. Because first of all, it is natural for you to bring information through you from beyond. There are parts of you that exist beyond the physical that speak to you. So in a sense, you've been channeling perhaps your higher self, perhaps a greater aspect of yourself at from time to time in your life anyway. If you're creative in music, art, writing, in whatever form it is, then you have a part of yourself on the other side that is the powerful reality creator, the one with a lot of imagination, and the one that part of you that works with spirit on the other side, can see more of who you are, can have more insight for you. And when you are creating, you are in the midst of a divine flow. Those of you who experience creativity can find yourself so uplifted, so feeling so fulfilled, so joyous. You are close to the divine. You can feel the divine. And indeed, that's one of the essential aspects of your nature by being a divine person, that you are a creative person. And your creativity establishes a channel from the greater you, who has a greater imagination beyond what you have in your mundane life, and the you who needs to apply it or wants to apply it and to express it. So we would suggest that you've probably channeled already yourself. But you are channeling parts of you. Or perhaps you have channeled information that you can say, or inspiration, and you could say, where did that come from? That does not sound like me. That's out of the blue. Fully formed. Amazing. And we would say, you have amongst your parts of yourself, you also have a crew. We've talked about before many times, you have a crew. And this crew that works with you, your support team, is made up of various non-physical beings who've been with you from the get-go, since you're born as a soul, to watch over you, to teach you, to lift you, to watch out after you. And you actually have a whole bunch of spirit entities who you work with. Most people call them guides. They don't really guide you, but what they do is work with your energies to kind of aim you, if need be, in ways that can be of more benefit to you. If you make a really, really stupid choice, make a big commitment, a big thing, and you blow a lot of energy, it's just a huge mistake, your guides are going to go running around like mad, working magic, so that this mistake is mitigated. You have a lot of protection. Now, you may also channel some of the messages, the support, the encouragement of these guides. They may also place in your mind a sense of awareness of a potentially positive way to respond or a place to go in your life. And you'll get that sensing and you will evaluate it and make your choice. And once you make your choice, they will all go, yes, okay, we averted another disaster, yay, all right. You have no idea how much support you're getting from your guides all the time. And that is done through the broadest, perhaps, definition of channeling. Now, there are times when you want to channel or you want to explore channeling, and that is probably what you're listening to us about today, is to actually be able to bring through a being of light and wisdom to express through you in some way. Now, there's mental channeling or mental mediumship, which is also known as being psychic. If you're psychic, you can get in touch with your team of guides and you can get information from them. If you are good at that, you can do it for other people as well, not just for yourself. Most people find it's easier actually to bring in information for other people than for themselves, and that's just an ego block that needs to be dissolved. But most people are not aware of that, so they just find it's easier to bring in information for other people. There's a woman, for example, about the one who channels us, used to go to for a psychic readings, and she was a mental channel. And by mental channel, that in a reading, she would find all these guides and all these people who want to talk, who want to share something with her client, i.e. this channel. All right. And so she'd say, okay, they're lined up. Let's see who's going to talk. And so she functioned as the gatekeeper. Now you can do this. You can get the information directly from one of your guides and say, my guide or this guide is saying blah, blah, blah. And here's what they are saying for you. And you can do readings for people. That is mental channeling. You are actually in contact consciously with guides for the person you are reading for. Okay. Now, that's a little different from the usual psychic who just operates on impressions and may not actually objectify or visualize any kind of form as a guide per se. The psychic will look at, maybe even read your aura and say, I see a man and, you know, in his 40s, and what does this mean to you, and so forth. And you go, oh, yeah, well, that's my brother or whoever. And can give you readings from seeing images. These images are sent by higher aspects of self or by guides. But the psychic may not actually know which guides they're speaking with, nor may they deliberately ask those guides to come in. They may not know their names. They may not know what they're about. So when you look at channeling, really the way that it's most often used is that a person is going to be the direct channel of this information, going to bring the direct information from the guide through to the client, right? When that is direct through, then you're not saying, okay, your guide so-and-so is saying such-and-such. Instead, you will then go into what is called a trance, and you will allow that guide to speak directly through you using your vocal cords, using your brain energy, using your physical body to get that message across. That is what most people see as channeling. Now, some people go completely out. The full trance mediums of old were the ones that just went completely out. In the old spiritualist tradition, it was in a seance. The medium would go into a cabinet. It was called a cabinet. It was generally a little room with a curtain around it and a chair in there, and would conk out. Totally conk out. And then, for those who saw the real thing, they would see like what looked like a white vapor come out and stand and merge into a form who would then speak. It was all very, very dark under a black light. You can barely see anything. Well, that is the day without the conscious involvement. Even now, someone who goes out totally and completely still is working in partnership with whoever it is that comes through them. And it is your choice as you begin to practice channeling, or if you have an interest in channeling, to find out to what level of depth you want to go. How far out do you want to go? Now, a lot of people say, well, if you go completely out, then your ego will not interfere with the information. And so there are people who will not go to anyone, any channeler, and hear any entity unless they know for sure that the one who is channeling is out cold. Because then they say, well, then if it's not that, it's not accurate. But we would suggest in this day and age, when the conscious mind is the place of great power, that someone who wants to channel does not have to go out. And they can still bring through information of great usefulness and precision. It is up to you how far you want to go in trance. But it is necessary for you, if you're going to channel, to have your gatekeeper and to be able to go into a trance. Now, this trance state is a state of quiet, very much like a meditation. And in the trance, there is an intention of getting out of the way of the transmission. It is your ego that has a hard time doing this. It is your conscious mind and ego working together that says, I want to be on top of all of this. What if I say something that's really stupid? It would be embarrassing. Therefore, I've got to monitor everything that comes through. And of course, if you do that and your ego gets involved, the information that comes through will be scanty or distorted at best. So the process of a trance really is for you to make the choice that you are willing to trust your gatekeeper to protect you. And it can even be to protect you from embarrassment. Although we would suggest it's also very, very healthy if you would have a healthy ego, which means that if you embarrass yourself through any way, shape, or form, that you can just laugh about it, right? And not get all bent out of shape and upset, angry, or run away and all that kind of stuff. If you can handle the fact that you are vulnerable when you are in trance, that you are letting go of the conscious mind temporarily, letting go of control, that type of over-control, uber-control, temporarily, that you can allow yourself to kick back, relax, and listen to the magic, to the what comes through, to experience it. And it's a lot of fun, actually. It's quite entertaining. One of the things that the one who channels us is really excited about is that when we talk to people about other lifetimes, for example, or we talk to people about this or that that's going on in other dimensions and so on, she gets to see the images. She's not in her conscious mind to interact and interfere with what's going on, but she gets to watch. It's like in a movie theater where you sit very passively and you just watch stuff. It's like the same type of trance that you get into if you're getting hypnotized. It's very similar. That's a trance as well. But this trance in channeling has a particular type of intention. This channeling has the intention of you being able to bring through some information or creative juice of value for you. So what you want to do is to get out of the way. You basically tell your ego, don't worry about whatever's going to happen. You make sure that you are in good condition with your with your gatekeeper. And you go into trance. You go as if you're going to hypnotize yourself. You're going to go into your subconscious and letting your conscious mind go. Now, what this generally translates into is that as if your consciousness steps back. It's like you step back, you lean back, all right? And as if an opening occurs in your crown chakra, the top of your head, and there's a channel that comes through. It's like an opening that comes through, and it comes to your mouth, from the top of your head to your mouth, right? Or if you are a creative who works with your hand, it will come through the top of your head. It will come down through your arms to your hands. And there are people like, who are doing music who will find that they are channeling through their hands. Keyboard, guitar, doesn't matter what instrument, but it will feel like it's coming through their hands. It comes through the crown chakra, right? Now, you have set your conscious mind back. You step back. Often you step up, or maybe you just step back. But you step back in order to keep this channel open. And then you allow your gatekeeper to bring through whatever energy needs to be brought through, whatever information. It can be brought through in various forms. Some of you who are psychic know that you are either a clairvoyant, which means you see things, clairaudient, you hear voices, you hear things. You're telepathic, which is a kind of like clairaudient, but without having to hear the words, you just know, right? Clairsentient is knowing, right? So you just know, it's like you get concepts like bang, just the whole concept or the whole gestalt, you might say, of something and it just comes right through you. If you can stay back, you can let it come right through. Now, in the early stages, understand it takes practice to do this. Because very often, as soon as you get something coming through, you get excited. Oh boy, look at that. Something's coming through. And the ego is going to come in. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, this is great. And all of a sudden it's gone. The channel closes off because you have to be able to stay back. You have to stay out of the channel to let the stuff through. As soon as your conscious mind comes back in, basically you close the channel. So it's an exercise, in a sense, of staying at subconscious level. You can stay aware now, even if you're in your subconscious mind and not in your conscious mental yak mind, okay? If you're in your subconscious mind at this day and age, when the power is in the conscious mind, the subconscious, as part of your spiritual growth and development, is becoming more conscious. So therefore, when you go to your subconscious mind, it is very much like you are dreaming, but very vividly. It's like not necessarily the visual aspect of it, but definitely audio aspect or kinesthetic aspect of it. You are allowing yourself to, in a sense, be in a consciously chosen and directed dream state. When you dream, your REM sleep, where you see all the interesting images and all that kind of stuff, that's in your subconscious. When you are in the depth of, in your way, way deep delta waves, you're in your unconscious mind. That's where you go to restore, where you restore your body. The REM sleep, the subconscious mind, is where you restore your mind and your metabolism and get those connected, right? Now, when you channel, therefore, your metabolism may shift. Your metabolism may change. You have an agreement with your gatekeeper that you are going to channel and that this is going to be of benefit to you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It's very important that you orient this way. Otherwise, it's difficult to trust the process and allow it to build and to grow for you. There are some kind of channels who actually, through their physical body, will channel directly into writing. Right? But we're not going to be sharing that particular one with you today. Automatic writing, they call it. That's like the creator, the one at the piano, putting together a great piece, a great song, or whatever. That is that is one form of channeling. But what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to take you through a process of connecting with your gatekeeper and allowing your gatekeeper, because you have one, all right, and for you to get set up into your trance state in the correct way. Because first of all, you want to ask. You make a request. It's like a ritual when you go into trance, is to ask for the highest level of information to come through you that may be more than you, more than you know. To not stand in the way of that, to let that come through, to let your body be healed as this happens. In other words, the channel, when she started channeling, the reason she got into channeling was because she had chronic fatigue. And she thought, sit down, close my eyes. I think I can do that one. But I cannot expend any energy. I have no energy to expend. I have no energy to give. So I cannot do it like the mediums, because those old mediums, you know, they would channel and they would, the medium, the energies would come through and they'd be exhausted afterwards. Or they would do healing and it would be exhausting. And, you know, of course, Hollywood plays this to the hilt, where there's a healer, and then they sweat, and they suffer, and they, to get the energy through. You know, it's not like that at all anymore. But it used to be. So what you want to recognize, this is easy, this is elegant, and your gatekeeper can really organize it so nice and so easy, provided you have to make the statement. It's your choice that you get a healing every time. It's your choice that something that you want healed, you can offer at each time. This is an exchange. This is a, you might say it's just like a business partnership. You're going to provide the body and the time, and they're going to provide the information and the healing and so on. And you just kind of go back and forth with it. Now, spirit guides are available 24/7. But there is no particular time in which you would find that you need to do your channeling. However, at twilight, all right, at dusk and dawn, those in-between times, those transition times of the day are the most magical, because that's between day and night, or night and day, is in an energetically equivalent to between conscious and the other level, this level, the other level. You can go in between different worlds, in between. So while right now it may not be dusk or dawn, you can always listen to this again and practice these techniques we're giving you at dusk and dawn for a little extra boost at the beginning. But it's not necessary, because spirit is available 24/7. And it doesn't bother spirit. They're not busy. How can you be busy if you don't have any limitations of time and space? You just don't, right? So that's why we, you know, the channel laughs about it, that we sleep around, right? We show up at people's bedsides at night, and we do work with people all over the place and during the day. So we're all over the place anytime, right? Your gatekeeper is available at all times for you. Now, you may already know your gatekeeper. You may know some of your guides. You may even know them by name. But you may not. And your gatekeeper may actually be the only being that you channel, the only one that speaks through you. And it may not be that you're the entity or entities that want to work through you are intent on reaching the mass public. It may be that you're just channeling for you, your family, your loved ones, and some friends. But then also, if you find it fun, if you find it invigorating and insightful, you can begin to do it as an enterprise. And you can practice bringing in great information for other people, and this will improve your health, your vitality, your strength, your insights, your creativity, your imagination. And we're saying that unless you decide that you're going to go out fully out. If you go fully out, it's very likely that you've made a special agreement before you came into this lifetime, that you and this entity had a one-on-one. This, you are going to be a partnership in this lifetime. And that agreement or contract is not for most people, because frankly, you have many, many options. You come into your lifetime for certain themes, not certain forms of action. Those are some certain contracted things. But you come in looking to love and to be loved. You want to create and be, and you want to realize your who you are. We call that your personal mission, to realize your divinity. But you may, if you choose, have a destiny or a particular global mission. And this global mission doesn't mean that you have to impact everything on the world, but it means that you can share something. You want to share a gift with your world. You want to give back to your world. All right? Now, one final thing is that people who have difficulty receiving may have some difficulty at first with channeling, because it's all about being a receiver. It's all about receiving. You go passive and you allow it to come through you. So here's what we're going to do. And if you have trouble with receiving, we recommend that you listen to our Love and Healing session on receiving. It's available on the website. But what we're going to do in a little while, we're going to take you on a meditation. In this meditation, we're going to take you on in a connection with your gatekeeper, right? And you're going to find a gatekeeper. You may not know exactly what their name is. It's very much as if you're connecting with any spirit guide, but you're going to be connected with the guide. Are you going to be open for a guide? You're going to step back and open the channel up. You're going to state your preferences, what you want. Now, if you want something specifically on a consistent basis, put that into your ritual requests. If you need more healing, if you need more, you know, money, if you need more love, whatever it is that you feel that you want more of, more consciousness, more empowerment, more freedom, more insight, more creativity, put that into your requests. And these requests are to your gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper will then, if the gatekeeper is not the one coming through, will find those entities who are attracted to your vibration, who can respect your boundaries that you set. And if the gatekeeper is the one, the gatekeeper will agree to that. Then you will find that as soon as that is said, you'll feel a drop. The drop. Those of you who can meditate and get very, very relaxed or go into self-hypnosis or something, there's a certain state at which you feel a relaxation that will take you down to a lower level. It will go, it will just drop down. You'll feel a heaviness, perhaps. You'll feel really a very quiet kind of thing. You'll be aware of your environment, but you won't be, in a sense, engaged with it whatsoever. You'll be, in a sense, detached, very detached, but very relaxed. And then whoever is to speak will come through, whoever wishes to move energy through you. And we would suggest that you allow yourself to let someone speak through you, just because that can be rather easier in a way to understand or whatever. It's not like you can, if you're a writer, that you are going to, you know, in the middle of the meditation, get up your laptop and going at it. That will be for later. But for the purposes of this meditation, we would suggest that what we're going to do, and this might be distracting for some of you, but please don't let your ego get involved with this, is that in the meditation part, we connect you with the gatekeeper, we do the ritual, you step back, opening up the channel, and if something comes through, feel it coming into your head, feel it coming through your head, And if something feels like an urge, a movement, an energy that comes through you, let it out. In other words, speak it out. Now, don't boom it out. Don't shock everybody. Let it out, but just let it come out. All right? If there might be a thing like, hello, that might be all that they say. Or welcome. All right? Feel free to do that. Now, if you hear other people do that and you feel like you're going to be disturbed, this is your ego getting in high dudgeon, as we call it, getting kind of prissy and proper, right? It's like, these other people, and we need to be quiet for me, right? Or you may hear somebody else say something and their spirit speaks through and you're going, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not able to do that yet. Oh, something's wrong with me. Don't let the ego take you to either of those places, all right? It's not about needing to be totally confident and totally together. Remember, that's an ego trip. It's about allowing something in. If it feels like the spirit moves you, as they say, let it come out, okay? Just speak it gently. Just let it come out. If all they do is that there's just an energy and there's no words in it, just let the energy come out. Like that. All right? If you have an intention and as part of your request for information, then let that, see if you can let some of that come through. If your gatekeeper wants to talk and says, hello, I am Master Chiron, right? Or whatever. Then, and that feels like it's moving in your head, then let it out. Okay? Now, you may not feel that urge. You may not feel the energy coming through, and that's fine too. What is the most important thing today is for you to be in touch with your gatekeeper and to have the ritual and to practice getting the ego out of the way and stepping back. Remember, you are a channel. Now, that's probably part of the reason that you've seen people who channel all sorts of phenomenal big ascended masters and everybody, you know. And yet the information comes in is hardly better than your friendly life coach lives down the corner, right? And you're thinking, this isn't exceptional information. And yet they're saying they're talking with the Lord, Master of the 18th dimension and blah, 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 and so on. And this is like hot stuff. Recognize it all has to come down through a channel. And what determines the accuracy of the information, the power of that information, the capacity of the information is dependent on you, the channel. It's like this huge, huge, huge energy, but it has to come down this little tiny narrow funnel. Right? It kind of has to compress, get way down in there. Now, your ego, and this is always so tricky. The egos of channels is what limits the information. It tightens it up. It's kind of like choking your throat. You know, you can't talk when you're being choked. Right? So practice allowing yourself to open. You'll open up your throat. You'll open up your third eye. You'll open up your crown. This upper area needs to open. And you just need to be able to allow whatever to come through and to trust, if it's your first time, there's going to be something. And if you don't get anything, just allow yourself to practice these steps and you will get it one of these days. Some people just have to practice getting the ego out of the way. That's always the big obstacle. That's the choking of the throat, right? If you get your ego out of the way, the ego's like, what's happening? What's happening? Why aren't I in control? You know? Then the more you have that, the less you'll be able to channel. Or the lower quality of information that you'll be able to channel.